Friday Sport.
That's Demai. Good evening to you. With the weather putting paid to the first day of the 2019 Royal Manx Agricultural Show, you could be forgiven for thinking we're in the heart of the football season and that games are going to be postponed galore. But you couldn't be more wrong. It's the height of the summer. We are still talking football in the programme, though. The FA County Youth Cup and the readmission for the Isle of Man, plus pro cycling and a rugby legend also on the agenda tonight. Yes, good evening. Welcome along to Friday Sport with you until 6 o'clock this evening. In the programme tonight, we'll be discussing the admin mishap that almost cost the Isle of Man under-18s side a place in this year's FA County Youth Cup.
I'm sure all these people were detracting us, and they probably missed deadlines in work as well. I don't mean that glibly, but, you know, we didn't actually deliberately do anything as such. It was just the way the format of the entry was relayed by the FA, and they're going to change that as well next season. So I think everyone's learned from this.
If you want to have your say on that, you can text in. The number is 166177, and a rugby legend will be in town next month.
It's not just massive to get Brian over for the weekend in September. The legacy of what the weekend will be huge for Manx rugby.
Brian Habana, that is. If you've got a special memory of him playing, then send me an email here at studio@manxradio.com. But first tonight, it's a bit of a flashback to last weekend, because as we were bringing you the show last week, 7 days ago, the Cycle 360 Manx International was moments from getting underway around the Isle of Man Business Park. It was a 3-day event with 4 stages. Ed Clancy won 2 of those, Matthew Holmes the other, and Matthew Holmes was the winner overall after that road race, epic road race, 3 laps of the mountain course around the TT course on terrible conditions on Sunday last week. But I spoke to co-event director Richard Fletcher at the end of it all.
Been very happy with the 4 days. Friday night was a stunning stage. We're blessed with beautiful weather, really exciting, fast racing. A couple of riders had unfortunately had some offs, but there was a great atmosphere up there. Two of our major sponsors, Cycle 360 and Manx Telecom, they made a real effort to get involved in the event. They had hospitality on, guests on, staff involved, and it made a real buzz around the area. And that's the highlight of the weekend for me. As a racer, second highlight would be today's stage. Really tough conditions for the riders. They couldn't literally see the rider in front of them coming down the mountain. And really, we've got a worthy winner in Matt Holmes. He basically looked round on the descent and nobody was behind him, and that was it. So, but I was really pleased with the racing.
Matt Holmes has had a brilliant series so far. He continued that here in the Isle of Man with 2 wins in 4 stages here. And you touched upon the conditions there, because the visibility was incredibly poor. Where we were at one stage, you couldn't even see down Glen Crutchery Road. So how much of a contributory factor is that to the performances that we see from these cyclists?
And I think some riders are affected more than others. Nobody races better in those conditions, but some it doesn't affect as much as others. The climb, it wasn't too windy, it wasn't too cold, so it would mainly be psychological, particularly on the mountain section where you can see the leaders if you are a little bit behind, whereas in these conditions it would be quite dispiriting for the people chasing because they wouldn't be able to see who they were chasing.
Brilliant to have professional cycling back here on our doorstep in the Isle of Man. Are you pleased with the support that it's got from the general public? Plenty out here today, despite the fact that the weather conditions weren't the best.
Yeah, I have been overwhelmed by the support. The odd person has been complaining about road closures, etc., but the vast majority have been really supportive, and they recognise that this does put the Isle of Man on the map. It makes people more aware of where we are. We're not in the English Channel, for instance. So to have an event like this with the best riders in the UK and beyond, we had riders from Ireland and Germany in it as well, to that awareness factor, and to have those best riders over here does a lot for both the sport and the profile of the Isle of Man.
How difficult is it for you and the organisers to secure an event such as this with the prestige that it has to come to the Isle of Man?
Well, it's not been too difficult, really. We're blessed with having very good riders domestically, so we've got the sort of legend of Mark Cavendish, Peter Kenyuk in the background, so people are very aware that the Isle of Man is a hotbed of cycle racing, so that helps. The other thing that helps is that we've got a very supportive government. The Department of Enterprise has always backed me when I put events to them, on the basis that they will both bring people to the island to spend money but also raise the profile of the island. So it's yes, there's a lot to do with running an event, but when you have people in those positions in supporting you, it actually makes it quite easy.
Will it be long before we see professional cycling back on the Isle of Man again?
Well, what we've agreed in principle with British Cycling, with the government and with the teams, is that this will be a biennial event, so every 2 years.
Co-event director Richard Fletcher there of the Cycle 360 Manx International. Great to see pro cycling back here on the Isle of Man. And you heard from himself there, hopefully not too long before it's back again.
Friday Sport.
Football Now, and the chief executive of the Isle of Man FA says everyone has learnt from an error that almost cost the under-18s side a place in this year's FA County Youth Cup. No entry was submitted before the deadline was due to what's being described as a change in the system. The Isle of Man FA faced a backlash over this, some people voicing their concern and frustration, and we also know that there are people out there who need no second invitation to criticise the organisation. It was an error, but it wasn't as straightforward as simply forgetting to submit an entry form, as some seem to be intimating. Numerous other counties were also caught out, including Northumberland, West Riding and Sheffield and Hallamshire. Late entry into the competition is not ordinarily permitted either as a matter of FA policy. However, the change in this year's communication of the process to county associations has since been considered a reasonable factor by the FA as to why some applications had not been completed. The Isle of Man under-18 side will travel to Cheshire for their first round tie, which is to be played no later than Sunday the 3rd of November. Chief Executive of the Isle of Man FA, Frank Stennett, told Manx Radio Sport he's relieved they have now been accepted into the tournament.
Basically, every year the FA, since I've been there, have sent an invitational invite to the Secretary of the County FA. So I was expecting an email to come to me as normal, asking us to enter the competition, pay the entry fee, and that was where we were. They did change the whole system, so they've gone on what's called a notification basis, and we probably get, I don't know, 30, 40 notifications per day. And this came in during my holiday at Easter. So consequently, it got missed. And when I rang them up and said, we haven't heard any news about the draw, what's happening? They said, the draw's been done. I said, oh no. I was absolutely gutted that had happened, for obvious reasons. But the notification basis, it transpired that it wasn't just us that missed it. It was some pretty big counties with 30, 40 staff. So I think the FA have come to terms with the fact that the way they notified the change of entry wasn't particularly well done. And we've been allowed back in, which is great news for us.
There was quite a stir on social media, yeah, about the fact that we had missed the deadline for entries. Is this not a gross oversight? I mean, can you understand why people were rightly annoyed that there was a possibility we'd be missing out on a major competition for our young footballers?
I don't say this glibly. I mean, I can understand where they're coming from if they didn't know the facts. But when you compare ourselves, we've got four staff. When you take Northumberland, who previously won this competition, Sheffield's a massive county, North Riding, again, huge county. For want of a better word, they also missed this. So it was the way it was done as opposed to us being lax. We have got fail-safe procedures now. Kevin Maitland in the office has a diary note. I've got a diary note. We've all got diary notes. The slight other factor to consider was we have entered the FA County, sorry, the FA Interleague Cup, and they did that on the old basis. So, you know, it's all very well in hindsight. I'm sure all these people were detracting us, and they probably missed deadlines in work as well. I don't mean that glibly, but, you know, we didn't actually deliberately do anything as such. It was just the way the format of the entry was relayed by the FA, and they're going to change that as well next season. So I think everyone's learned from this, and we have to move on.
Are you having conversations with the bodies in the FA who did make this change and perhaps didn't communicate with you as best as they could have done?
We certainly wrote to them. I spoke to someone very senior in the FA who I'll keep to myself. I spoke to him privately, and they said that they would speak to the committee concerned, the competitions committee. So the draw was redone. It's done at Wembley Stadium. It's done in the velvet bag that you see on telly. So we've been drawn back out. We're in the first round. As it happens, the clubs let, or the counties let back in. We'll be playing away, and we've been drawn against Cheshire. So that's something to look forward to for our under-18s.
Yeah, let's talk about the competition as a whole, because the missed deadline aside, that has now drifted into insignificance because we've been allowed back in, as have four other counties, Berkshire and Buckinghamshire, Northumberland, Sheffield and Hallamshire and West Riding. So as you say, some big counties in there who did also miss that deadline.
Yeah,
we've been allowed back in. You say the draw was made at Wembley in the velvet bag. That shows just what a fantastic competition this is and a great chance for our youngsters to go out there and show what they're made of.
Definitely, Chris. I mean, it is a very important competition. We were looking around to get some sort of alternative, but to be perfectly honest, the FA perhaps don't promote how good the County Youth Cup is. I think last year, if you remember, we got to the quarter final, we played Norfolk. It's not cheap to go over to Norfolk and stay two nights in a hotel with a party of 25, but we did exceptionally well. And of course, it gives our young players the opportunity to understand the etiquette and how much sporting values we as the Isle of Man FA put in place. And we expect our players to have a code of conduct, which last year they were exemplary. I mean, they were a fantastic set of lads and they were brilliantly well behaved. There was no issues at all. And of course, we went to Norfolk ultimately and got beat in the quarter final by a team that went on to the final. So we'll see where we go with this. I mean, we've been drawn in the second round against Manchester FA, which they're the holders of the competition. They won it last year, so that'll be a massive test. But the most important thing is our under-18 players can now look forward to scheduling their training with the coaching staff ahead of this game against Cheshire, which is the first game we face.
Is there any expectation placed on these players to go out there and perform? Is there a specific target of what we're wanting to achieve this year?
I think, to be perfectly honest, to answer that question, it would be Lewis Qualtrough and Paul Bridesnoe, the coaching staff. We expect them to play to their best ability, to put in the training and be fit and ready for the game. I can't really comment enough on last year when we went to different counties and we were playing away. I just can't remember which county we went to, just off the top of my head, but we went to Staffordshire, it was, sorry, and we played possibly the best football I've seen at under 18 level. They were actually brilliant. We won 2-1 on the day. Some great players in our squad, some key positions, had good players like keeper, centre half, centre forward, etc. So I think where we are now is we have to draw a line under what's happened. We've learnt from that experience. The detractors that were many and plentiful, I can understand their sort of anger to some degree, but it was a bit like gang up on the FA really at one time. But hey ho.
How much does this competition shape where our youth coaching goes? Do you analyse the performances to such a standard that you feel we are lacking in this particular area, so we need to work on that, or is that again done in a committee meeting?
Not in committee. I think the coaching staff are getting more and more slicker as time progresses. If you take Paul Jones, for instance, running the senior men, there's quite a lot of data analysis and match statistics that they pour over. Likewise, Lewis and Paul Bridesnoe will be doing the same with the under-18s team. And of course, the under-18s are our future when we go into the Interleague Cup. And again, I would imagine the likes of Paul Jones will be targeting winning that, possibly, without putting pressure on the team or Paul or the coaching staff. But that's what will be their intentions, to then represent the Isle of Man in wider fields than just the FA Interleague Cup.
If we just bring this this interview to a conclusion, but I mean, how many conversations did you have with the younger players, the under-18s who would have been involved, who are going to be involved in this tournament, when that
initial news came through that we had missed the deadline.
Well, that was Lewis's job as such, to relay that bad news. And of course, to give the players the due, they've been absolutely brilliant. They just treated it as it was. It was one of those things that had happened. Thankfully, the players now know that we are back in, and that's great news for everybody. And that's the real message to send here. We're back in the competition. It's a very important competition from many, many considerations, not least player development, the conduct and things that go on in a sporting environment where we go to. And let's hope we progress. Let's hope that we get past the Cheshire game and see where we go from there. But it's a game-by-game approach, as you know, in football. You have to take it like that.
Well, here's hoping. Just finally, on a personal level, have lessons been learnt?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, we've learnt lessons from our end. I think, to be truthful, I would imagine that the FA would probably also say that they've learnt lessons as to how they convey these particular entry procedures. So I think all people have learnt, and I'd like to think our diary systems are so robust now that we can't sort of get into this situation again.
Chief Executive of the Isle of Man FA there, speaking about the FA County Youth Cup. The Isle of Man will play away at Cheshire no later than Sunday the 3rd of November. Now, one of the most iconic names in world rugby is heading to the Isle of Man, courtesy of a local business who are keen to see the sport over here thrive. Brian Habana scored an incredible 67 tries during a 12-year career for South Africa, and he'll be on the Isle of Man from the 6th to the 8th of September. A World Cup winner with the Springboks in 2007, he equaled Kiwi Jonah Lomu's record of 15 World Cup tries at the event 8 years later. N7 Sport Events, which is based on Athol Street in Douglas, is the firm behind the visit, and they say it could be the start of a number of high-profile figures coming to the island. A series of events are planned, including a training session for youngsters and a black tie dinner, which will aim to raise money for the local game and also for local charity Rebecca House. Nathan Block told me more about how he managed to get Brian Habana to the Isle of Man. Bit of a clue, his accent, as he says, is a bit of a giveaway.
We're delighted to be having Brian Habana to the Isle of Man for our first full weekend of events in a few weeks' time. And very happy that he's coming for time to spend, particularly with young people who have interest and are involved in rugby, but also doing something in support of local Manx rugby, with a session we have on the Saturday morning, which is a question and answer session for youngsters and their parents and any sporting individuals who wanting to quiz a high-profile, A-listing international star. There's opportunity to quiz him on rugby, but also just general sporting activity, as he's achieved as much as he has in his sporting career. We're then also doing a Sunday morning training session specifically for rugby, where Brian's got four of his team from Team Habana Foundation in the UK coming to visit, and they'll be running a training session. And then mid-weekend, we have a black tie event, which is for the older folks, but an event where we're looking to raise funds for Manx rugby and just have a signature black tie next level event where we're just going to have a great evening together.
You said it yourself there, a real coup having Brian Habana right here on the Isle of Man. How on earth have you managed to secure this absolute legend of the game to come over here?
Well, my accent is something of a giveaway. Originally hailing from South Africa, Brian is a family friend of ours, and in discussion with him and talking about our involvement and our business's connection to rugby and an interest in rugby in the island and this side of the world, he expressed a willingness and interest to come and see what's happening and support what we're doing here. So we're super excited. It is a coup for us, and it's going to be a big event for Manx rugby this year on the Isle of Man.
And as N7, as a business, were you keen to show your support for Manx rugby as a whole?
Yeah, the whole idea behind what we're doing is to ultimately raise the profile of Manx rugby, and then all funds raised through what we're doing is going into Manx rugby. Along the way, for this event, we're raising funds with a raffle for Rebecca House, which we're delighted to be doing. But the ethos of what we're doing is for Manx rugby. All funds that are raised, any profits from the whole weekend's activity is going back into Manx Rugby for the benefit of the clubs, but also rugby development on the island and in support particularly of programs and strategy that's been developed by Chris for Manx Rugby.
For people of a certain generation, they'll remember Brian Habana extremely fondly. For those who are possibly a bit younger and still have a bit of education to come in ways of their rugby experiences, there is a chance for everybody to get involved with this event. How do they go about that?
Best way to engage with us is to have a look at the website, n7sportsevents.com, or to engage through Facebook. Send us an email, drop us a line in order to connect with what we're doing and see what we're doing. Across the generations, certainly, from the youngest right through to those who've been involved with rugby for many, many years. Brian is an individual that we believe will appeal across those generations because he has achieved so much, but he's also engaging across that scale with people that will have interest, as I've said, in rugby and in sports in general. So, come and be inspired. Come and hear the stories. Come and ask your questions. Come and listen, even on the Sunday morning. Come and watch. You're welcome to just watch what happens at the training session. And for those that do have the budget and opportunity, it'd be great to have people. There are last few tables left for the black tie event, and it's going to be a smashing evening together.
And I understand that this is hopefully the start of I wouldn't say a regular occurrence, but bringing people over from the world of rugby and big name sports stars right here to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, we think with what this has already done for the profile of Manx rugby, it's our intention to have 2 to 3 of these events per year. And we've already had some requests for other big English and Irish names, which we're considering. But it certainly is our plan for this to be the launch of something that we continue to do into the years ahead with other links into rugby that we have.
Well, that was Nathan Block, the director of N7 Sports Events. That website again, n7sportsevents.com. Well, Brian Habana's visit will have a hugely positive impact on the sport in the Isle of Man, according to Rugby Development Officer Chris Branigan. He himself is pretty excited at meeting the icon that is Brian Habana, and he also says it's an unmissable opportunity.
It's very exciting for me personally as a rugby fan, but I'm really excited for Manx Rugby to get this opportunity because, as you say, this is a huge name. It's, well, you're not going to get any bigger than Brian Habana in the game. So, yeah, personal excitement and excitement for the island, really.
Let's start with the training session with the youngsters. How aware are they, do you think, of Brian Habana at the moment? And if they're not too aware, I'm sure this will be a very special experience for them to have the coaching and intuition and knowledge of this icon, relaying that to them on a personal level.
Absolutely, yes. It's the kids have got a great opportunity on the Sunday. So the training session is with Brian and the guys from his foundation. So for those younger ones who might be coming, who might not have seen Brian play, great opportunity over the next few weeks to get on YouTube and see how one of the best in the game to ever do it has formed his career. Now, the Sunday is open to a whole age sort of variety of kids. So really, we're hoping to just pass as much information, draw as much knowledge from Brian on the day as possible, and also using the guys from Brian's foundation.
Who can get involved in this? Has it already been decided, or are there still a few places up for grabs where people can get themselves involved?
Great question. Yep, there are still a few availabilities for the Sunday training session left. So those, if you are interested, just need to either contact directly through the website Nathan gave, or it could be through the Facebook group of the N7 Sports Event group. And we can sort the tickets from there. There are a few remaining tickets for the Sunday, yeah.
And we will be putting all those details on the Manx Radio website as well. How big is this for Manx Rugby as a whole? Hopefully to inspire more people into the sport if perhaps they may have played it in the past and then given it up. But to have this figure here And with so many brilliant memories that he's given to people over the years who love sport, this is huge for the sport.
It is indeed, yeah, it's absolutely massive. But it's not just massive to get Brian over for the weekend in September. The legacy of what the weekend will give will be huge for Manx rugby. So that we're hoping that we'll be feeling the effects of Brian's visit for a long time after he's gone. And so really Manx rugby stands to benefit hugely, not just for a weekend, hopefully for the forthcoming season, the schools, the clubs, the strategic plan, everything should benefit off the back of this visit.
It's historically been one of the more popular sports on the Isle of Man, rugby, but under your stewardship it seems to have grown even more. How grateful are you for the support of the people who've helped bring Brian Habana here to the Isle of Man?
Extremely. It's been growing pretty quickly, shall we say, rugby last few years, almost to the point where we need those extra hands, we need those extra support structures in place. So for the guys at N7 to then just immediately jump in and help sort of bring Brian over, which is great to help the logistics of the weekend, but as I said before, we'll be feeling the effects of this weekend for a long time after Brian's gone. So yeah, I'm hugely grateful for that.
And I don't think you need to sell it to anybody in this room at the moment. I think for large amounts of the public, they won't need any selling for this event either. But for those who may be on the fence, what will you say to them to encourage them to get involved in this weekend of events and to get them to go along to the Black Tie dinner and support sport and also a worthwhile charity as well?
We're sat on the Isle of Man and someone the size of Brian doesn't come along very often. Now, as Nathan said, you don't have to be a rugby nut. You might just be a sports enthusiast. But when someone this big comes to the island, you go and see them. You ask questions, you draw knowledge, you take experiences, and you take those into your own life moving forward. But when someone this big comes over, you don't miss it.
That's Chris Brannigan, the Rugby Development Officer on the Isle of Man. 6th to the 8th of September is when Brian Habana will be here. N7sportsevents.com is the website you need to check out for more information. But that's it for Friday Sport this evening. The news at 6 o'clock is next.